is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Lance will be here till 9:30 or somewhere around there, whenever he decides to leave. Raheel joins us at 9.
Today. I haven't decided. I may stay longer.
You might stay longer today? I may stay longer. Usually you're cutting it off short, but...
That's preferable, but I may actually stay longer and talk some Texans. We have a football team now, John.
Oh, do we?
We have a high-end...
Beat the Lions in a preseason game.
Yeah, blasted the Lions.
Well, I did like the first drive.
Oh, that was good.
It was awesome.
Touchdown. Hot knife through a butter.
There were a lot of things to like. I liked Joe Webb. You and I were talking about him before. I mean, he threw a bad pick, but he's a capable backup.
He is. I've been impressed with Joe Webb. I was impressed with him in the first game. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I know he can scramble and get away and extend. He's made some nice throws. He's made nice throws on the run. Like, there in the first quarter when he took over, he scrambled to the right and just threw a dime on an out. The receiver is dragging towards the sideline with him, and he just made a picture-perfect throw.
Well, and
the interception was really bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was really bad.
So, but we have been talking for years about, well, Brandon Whedon is totally different quarterback. You got to change everything. Right. The game plan gets thrown out the window. And there's a lot of that. If Deshaun got hurt and Brandon Whedon had to go in, the plays that you run are going to be different than what you game plan for. Joe Webb, put him in there, and I don't think you have to change anything.
Well, so they do the same kind of thing, but I didn't notice like a ton of zone read stuff baked into
Deshaun. He could.
Yes. That's the thing, is physically they're the same kind of quarterbacks, although I don't see OB. It seemed like all that stuff changed after the Dallas game. After Deshaun almost had his heart caved in, it's almost like everything changed. With Deshaun too, he realized as he's on that bus to Jacksonville with three punctured lungs or whatever, and usually you only have two lungs, and three of them got punctured. Maybe there's three puncture spots in one lung. I don't know, but you could sense that he just said, I'm not going to do anymore. I'm not going to just take on linebackers, drop my head, and try to run into them as hard as I can. Yeah. I think I'm going to start running as much.
Running the triple option on the goal line has got to stop.
Hey, Jamel Holloway, let's just stop this nonsense.
So, Titus Howard played through a broken finger, which was nice. Left the game, but he did break a finger, but he's going to be okay. Roderick Johnson started at left tackle, but let's be clear. Roderick Johnson is not the starting left tackle. That was made clear by one Mr. Bill O'Brien.
Well, which was interesting.
Right. Asked about tackles being able to play left and right side, and then asked about about who is his starting left tackle. Here's what Bill O'Brien had to say.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if you're playing right or left. Not in the day and age, this day and age of pro football. If you're the right tackle on any team, you know, you're blocking, let's just call it J.J. Watt. He plays on the left side of our defense quite a bit, right? So the right tackle has to block guys that are just as good and just as athletic as the left tackle. So the fact that we have guys that can do that, that's good. I mean, guys that are, you know, comfortable in left-handed and right-handed stances is a big deal. And we have guys that have had experience doing that. It's really good.
Bill, what's the state of the starting left tackle position as of now?
What is the what?
The state of the starting left tackle position as you get ready for week one.
Yeah, Matt Khalil's a starting left tackle.
So that seemed rather like a silly question for Bill O'Brien. He seemed to be a little put off or annoyed with the question. I think it's a valid question. Titus Howard went out there after Roderick Johnson and gave up a sack. It wasn't a good look. Something that is a little worrisome if Titus Howard has to go out there, because he's been playing guard. And let's make no mistake, this whole starting line, you can move over to the right. We like a lot of versatility. I mean, one of the downsides of that is I'm not practicing at the position and learning that position every day. I'm being versatile, and I've got to learn something else over here, and it's taking away from where I might be playing. So that's one of the downsides of it. That the upside is of it is that you can move guys around, and you got, you know, and the coach has some, you know, he has some options. So that's that. Sure, coach loves that. But Titus Howard playing a lot of guard in practice and then having to go out to tackle when he's just a rookie and having all kinds of other responsibilities and having to learn all kinds of other stuff as a rookie, I'm sure his head is swimming.
Yeah, it is. I remember Mario Williams was getting moved around.
Yes, and that was a real issue.
It slowed him down his first year. I think the problem with Titus Howard is they're actually just not – they're going to start giving him a lot of tackle reps because he's played tackle. I think they've decided – Roderick Johnson is going to be their swing tackle. I think Julian Davenport's going to be out. I think Chantrell at right, at left will be Matt Khalil. And if anything happens, Titus Howard can bump out the tackle. I think Titus Howard right now is fighting for a starting position at left guard. When Nick Martin gets back, Zach Fulton to right guard. But to be honest with you, to me, Max Sharpin is ready to be a starting guard right now.
I don't think Max Sharpin comes out of the starting lineup.
He shouldn't.
No.
If they are true to the tape, Max Sharpin's better right now than Titus Howard. Frankly, he's better than Cineo Kelemete. There's really no reason for number 74, Max Sharpin, the rookie out of Northern Illinois, the second pick of the third round. I think he's the second pick of the third round. There's really no reason for him to come out. I mean, he has looked really, really sharp in preseason. He's got the body type of an NFL guard.
He's huge, dude.
He's got he's got good strength. He's got good technique. I mean, Max Sharping is – I've really been impressed with his first two games.
I don't know if I was on this show or my other show where I said – when I was in Green Bay. Yeah, I was in my afternoon show. Or my midday show. I was on that. That Davenport was persona non grata in Green Bay. Like Julian Davenport was like he sat there. He got very few reps. He was you knew.
I've heard he's kind of down in the dumps too.
He's been kicked to the curb. I mean, I'm with you. I don't think he makes his football team.
He didn't develop. I mean, so I wasn't a fan coming out. I thought he was a developmental player that you would find out. Actually, he's following the track that I thought he would follow, yeah. Where you have him and then you see what he. Now he had to start. On a team, you didn't have it. So it doesn't make you any less developmental. But he was exactly kind of who I thought he would be coming out of college, which was developmental. And either he got better and he matched some of the physical, you know, some of the athletic traits he had, or he would just not get better and he'd be out of the league. And then he won't be out of the league. I mean, make no mistake, if he gets cut, he'll be picked up by somebody else. Because he has NFL starting experience. I mean, somebody's going to pick him up pretty quickly. It wouldn't surprise me if Julian Davenport is getting some starting reps somewhere when somebody gets hurt this year. But with that said, I don't think he's making the Texans. There's the writing's on the wall. The writing's on the wall. So you are going to see Max Sharping, Nick Martin, Zach Fulton. You'll see Greg Mantz. Chantrell Henderson, Titus Howard, Roderick Johnson, Matt Khalil. That's eight. Beyond that, and that's how much you'll travel with. Beyond that, I would say Cineo Kelemete probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who else. I mean, you've got some. I would not probably bounce, even though Max Sharping came in as a right tackle, or he came in, he's played right and left tackle in college. I would just stick him at guard, and I wouldn't even worry about him being able to bounce outside a tackle, maybe in an emergency situation. I think the Texans may have got something pretty good with Max Sharping. That's how good I feel about it. And it's not just, you know, I know he's not playing the high-end competition, but there are things with offensive linemen. If you know what to look for, you're seeing it with Max Sharping, and sometimes you don't see it with Titus Howard. That's what, right now, if you gave me a $100,000 chip, and he said, who are you betting on, Titus Howard or Max Sharping? I'm betting on Max Sharping, and I wouldn't even delay.
Yeah.
I would just immediately move my chip to
Max Sharping.
You're
going
all in? Aaron Colvin.
You're going all in.
I'm going all in on Max Sharping.
Wow.
Aaron Colvin, I saw him get turned around three different times. It was not good for him in what I saw. I tell you who I am just consistently impressed with, Dylan Cole. Dylan Cole, Cunningham, and Bernardrick McKinney. Man, that's a if Dylan Cole can stay on the field, that guy gets hurt all the time. But if he can stay on the field, man, does he look like a more athletic Brian Cushing body type wise? Like he's just got explosiveness that Cush didn't really have. It's that's very quietly, I think, a big strength of the Texans is that inside linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, they're strong up the middle with JJ and DJ Reader, you know, inside and Blackson, all those guys. Plus, you got the three linebackers inside. Plus, you got Justin Reed and Gibson. I mean, that's where they're strong. When you go outside now, I will say this. Bradley Roby looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, Bradley Roby has got – it looks like he's gotten his – now, we're not seeing a ton of number ones, but – Bradley Roby has gotten a little swagger back in his coverage. He's never not been fast or athletic. He's always had that. I guess he just struggled last year with whatever they asked him to do. But, you know, the Denver Broncos struggled last year. And so maybe it's just one of those things. Maybe he ends up being a hit this year. Tyrann Mathieu had the same issue in Arizona. Yeah. And they put him in a good position, Romeo did here. And maybe Bradley Roby just has his confidence.
And it looks like Whitney Merciless has woken up.
Whitney?
Yeah.
Yeah,
at least he put some pressure on the quarterback. But he had to sack the strip sack?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just he did it against ones, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did it against first ones. Series.
It was
because they did play
I
once.
Will say this, though. Well, they played, well, if Johnson.
Well, Decker was out.
If Josh Johnson is their one.
Well, no, I'm talking about offensive line.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I will say this. David Fales looked a lot better than Johnson did.
Yeah,
he looked like a capable backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Josh Johnson's doing. I don't know. I'm not understanding that at all. But Fales looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. We got a lot to talk about. 713-780-3776. You've got some thoughts there. The Astros finally win a baseball game in this one of the poor. But this is what happened when they won 10 in a row.
Yeah, but
before.
You almost got four games swept.
Yeah.
They gave you a soft sweep. The A's soft swept the Astros.
Well, it's 7.5 games, okay? And now you're home for 10 games against Detroit. So let's settle down, everybody. They did the same thing when they went on that long winning streak earlier this year. They came out and lost 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6, and then they kicked everybody's ass.
Osuna got a save. Everything's fine.
Well, that's I'm not sure that's it, but okay. He had a 3-run lead.
How did Yordan go 0 for 5? It was devastating.
Yordan went 0 for 5, and his OPS is 1,100.
Hey, where's the bat? I need to go look at – I just stopped paying attention to other people's bat. Like, I don't pay attention to batting average anymore, except for Astros. I'll take a look at it. It used to be a big deal to me. I always want to know who was at the top of the batting average and who was fighting for that. How far off is Michael Brantley from
– he's right there.
He's got to be right there.
He's 4 points off DJ LeMahieu.
He's got to be
– He and LeMahieu has been talked about a lot – as league MVP, Michael Brantley needs to be
Michael
in that
Brantley right now is having one of the best seasons I've ever seen for an Astro hitter in terms of just pure at bats where he's get. Have you looked at his strikeout totals?
He's leading.
He doesn't strike out much at all.
He's leading the world in multi hit games.
Yeah,
he's right by there far. In batting average. Mm-hmm. He's I don't know why he's not talked about. It's Bregman that gets talked about on the Astros.
Bregman and Yuli. And Yordan and everybody not named Michael Brantley. And all he does is just sit there in a box and just rip them into the outfield.
And Zach Greinke looked totally sweet. That's the Zach Greinke that
we need.
2 of 3
looking good for Zach Greinke.
And he had to catch a bullet. Did you see the bullet Carlos Correa threw?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He was like, oh, my God. That came in fast.
Carlos has catch
he has
rocket.
A cannon. Yeah. All right, time to talk about, oops. Steam cleaning. Oops. Floor and carpet cleaning. Okay. They're the experts here in Houston. They can clean anything you can think of. The competitors use warm, soapy water. That doesn't get the job done because it leaves the residue, the soapy residue behind. You can't get it all up. Instead, they use very hot steam. And by very hot steam, I mean 250 degrees, which is enough to kill fungi and germs and get rid of mold spores, everything else. Listen, if you have beer and wine and pee and coffee, then you have a different technique that they have to use. And they'll tell you all about that when you call. You're going to talk to a trained professional on the phone and a trained background screen professional, an employee, not a contractor, because a lot of these places will use contractors. Oh, we're not responsible for them in your home. Well, Oops says, oh, yeah, we are. because they're an employee of ours, and we have background checked them. They're going to be in your home. We care about the people that will be in your home. That's kind of a big deal, people. And if you've got anything, stone, tile, grout, bathroom, kitchen, air ducts, drapes, anything that needs cleaning, dryer vents, they'll do that. They do it all, and they do it professionally, and they will tell you what the price is going to be before they get there. 30-day service warranty as well. Give them a call, 281-822-0561. 281-822-0561, oopssteam.com. That's oopssteam.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Alex Bregman. Dude was 4-for-4 with a walk. On base 5 times. That good enough? With a 3-run homer. That good enough? Alex Bregman. Hey, AJ, how's that taste? Well, AJ doesn't like him. They got beef. The two got beef.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with him as a baseball player. He doesn't like him as a person.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
How can you can't be a douche and go get on base 5 times?
Barry Bonds.
Well, he's not a douche.
Barry Bonds wasn't a...
No, he wasn't a douche.
What was he?
A cheater and a liar and a...
But he was a good person?
No, Barry Bonds?
I didn't say that. That dude. No, he wasn't...
Barry Bonds, what would you consider him?
I'd consider him a douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Barry always had all that... Barry was not a good dude.
He wasn't. Okay, was he approachable? No. But I don't know. Douchebag is different to me. Just because you're an a-hole doesn't mean you're a douchebag.
So you can be you can't be a D-bag and be good at baseball, but you can be an a-hole and be good at baseball.
Oh, there's a lot of a-holes that were good
at
baseball.
You don't think there are any D-bags that are good at baseball?
Yeah. Ryan Braun was when he was on Screwball.
You guys are talking about cheaters.
Barry Bonds was.
Barry Bonds was a
D-bag
in
Pittsburgh. Yes, what are you talking about? Before he was cheating.
Are you thinking he's? Are you thinking
Chach?
Are you thinking Chach and D-bag?
No,
the same?
No. D-bag is. Yeah. It's more Chach than it is a hole.
I'm thinking D-bag like. I don't know. It's hard to define.
D-bag is your
turd. He's kind of a hole. Just a lot of things. You can roll a lot of things. It's like an umbrella. With a lot of subsets, like a-hole, Chach, just D-bag catches about 3 to 4 different subsets to me. For me, you can say that, and it can mean a few different things.
Like Chris Cuomo. That's a D-bag.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I mean,
Bregman getting into Twitter fights would make him
I don't
a want to
comment on Bregman.
No?
Bregman I'm is a hero
out.
That
he's
this
edgy.
City has
he's
always
edgy,
needed.
He's a hero because he plays baseball well. I get it.
Great human.
He's your guy. He plays baseball well. I get it.
Yeah. So he's edgy.
Yes, I get
we
it.
We like the edgy. Yeah,
no,
brings
much like
to
when
the
Arian Foster, chip on his shoulder.
Much like when Arian Foster was running for... all those yards. Yes. He was eccentric, and then when he stopped running for all those yards, he became weird in the D-bag.
He was always weird.
When he stopped being productive. When he was productive, that's Aaron being Arian.
Well, I think most people
thought
he was
quirky.
Yeah, he was quirky and eccentric.
Quirky and eccentric.
Until he stopped being able to run the football.
No.
But
he
was just another version.
To me, he was always he was two-faced.
He was I thought he was Ricky Williams and I always felt like Ricky and Arian were very similar in that they were just different guys. They were eccentric. From the very beginning, Arian was talking about dinosaurs and stuff. You know who else is like that?
Kyrie Irving?
No, from A&M.
From A&M.
The DN. Why am I blanking on his name?
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett.
Oh.
Miles Garrett's another one of those.
Miles Garrett is...
He's really into the 70s and 70s music. He's into dinosaurs. He's a different dude now. He's quirky.
Well, as long as he's getting sacks, he's quirky.
He's not a D-bag. I can see how Trevor Bauer...
is a D-bag.
Well, but
that's the perfect example.
But this is why I bring this up. You're not going to like this part so much. If the Astros made a trade, Alex Bregman for Trevor Bauer,
I think it'd be an even D-back switch. And
there might be an inverse.
No.
We've got love for Alex Bregman, but if you don't
look,
if you're not an Astros fan, I could see how the D word would come up for
the
Alex,
stare at the camera for Bregman. Opposing fans think that D-back is fun.
The triple stare yesterday.
For us, it's fun.
It's fun for
other
everybody.
People.
And
other people, no, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
I think Reds fans like it.
Oh no!
Yes, they do. Reds Everybody Sox, loves it. Everybody's like, "Look how fun that is."
You don't think he hits a home run in the playoffs against the Yankees? Oh, D-bag!
No.
Come on, yes,
no.
They will.
Looks at the camera. They're like, "I wish our guys would do that."
No, they don't.
Have fun.
The Yankees are bullying young umpires. That's what.
Oh my God! Are they
doing.
Ever?
They need to stop.
Good Lord! Brett Gardner gets thrown out of every game. And by the way, he got thrown out of a game last week that he didn't even say a word. It was the dude next to him that was screaming. And Major League Baseball upheld it and said, no, that's okay. Yep, no, he deserved it. What? Yeah. I mean, Major League Baseball, just stop lying to you lie about everything. You lie, you're turning into the NFL, lying about everything with your commissioner, right?
It is. We really have to.
So I was wondering whether or not Lance would distance himself from that. Apparently not. He wasn't listening.
Yeah, no. I don't. We don't lie. In the NFL, our commissioner, we are transparent with our commissioner and with everything that happens.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Baseball,
you guys may have problems in baseball. We don't have it in the NFL.
Okay.
We don't have it. Everything's been squashed. Jay-Z's in the house. We're getting some things worked out.
Oh, did you see the next day? Jay-Z may own a piece of an NFL team within months.
Just like we were talking about.
Yes.
Jay-Z has
That's
the plan
only
to do
he's doing all this.
But you know what?
You want to own a team? Then get on board.
So here's going to be the interesting one, too. LeBron wants to own a team.
Yeah.
And LeBron has been very pro-social justice, pro-Kaepernick. LeBron needed Jay-Z to come in and take a few bullets before he comes in. And they might work together on a team. On owning a team. I don't know. But, yeah, I've read. I actually heard what Killer Mike had to say on that. There's a couple schools of thought on the Jay-Z thing where you've got – we've heard the Eric Reed side. And then the other side is, wait a minute. This is progress. This is a seat at the table. This is – you know, Jay-Z is – he is inside now. And,
well, I think it's
– And this is about more than college. You know,
you can say what you want, Eric Reed. But you're taking that same money that Jay-Z has taken.
That's a fair point.
Yeah,
a fair point.
I mean, you're getting you're making millions off of this off of Colin not playing. Well, so are you. So are you.
Well, Eric Reed's not making millions off Colin's not playing.
He's taking the same people's money.
But Jay-Z's not making off if Colin was playing or not playing. It has nothing to do with Jay-Z.
I think the point would be if Colin Kaepernick didn't happen to him. Jay-Z probably doesn't have the avenue that he's taking. He might have gotten the NFL in a different fashion, but the NFL might have not been as open to whatever the deal
right,
is. I don't
right.
even know what the deal is.
Well, that's a possibility, but he also may have still be in the same
spot. That's what I'm saying.
He
might,
same style.
It just might have happened a different way. Yeah.
Right.
But the whole point is there something good that can come from that for the same people who are upset about Colin Kaepernick? Can they be happy with what comes from this from Jay-Z potentially being there?
So wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait. That's
the whole
point.
But back to the Yankees bullying young umpires.
Okay, yeah, because we didn't get enough of that. There's too much meat on that bone. Those guys are getting kicked out of every game.
Yeah.
They're running out and screaming at umpires nonstop. I mean, the Yankees have turned into the biggest.
They're savages.
I know that I've heard, but the Astros can chirp a little bit, but they don't pull. It's almost like the Rockets. You know, the Rockets are complaining about every, like, yeah. What? How in the world is this a call? We're going to send in 100 tapes into the league and all. That's what the Yankees are now.
Yeah.
The Yankees are like the Rockets of baseball, where they have so much beef with the umpires / referees that it's like every single game.
So I think I can tell this story. I'm pretty sure I can tell this story. I went to the U of H scrimmage last night. And the offense looks pretty good. Derek looks pretty good.
I
tell you, Tune looks pretty good. And the offense looked really good. The defense made some plays on the goal line. They looked pretty good. So afterwards, the referees, Dana went and said, "Okay, so what do you guys think?" Because he wants to get their opinion. You get an opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And the referees told him, and he told his team this, and he told all of us this afterwards. He had a bunch of his donors out there and everything. And he said, University of Houston has a reputation with the referees. Undisciplined, always chirping, always whining, cheap shots. That's what the University of Houston is in the American Football Conference. He said,
The officials
The officials told them that. The officials told them this.
Are they from the conference?
They're from the conference.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. They do. They
go to scrimmages?
U of H game. Well, you bring in the referee crew during the scrimmage, and you pay them. Oh, yeah. Okay. You pay them. And actually, you try to get, certain. It's a complicated deal with the referees. Anyway, he said, in the American, this is what the University of Houston is. And he said, you know what? I saw none of that tonight. None of that. This team is totally different than the teams, University of Houston teams of the last few years. No, and that's not a knock against Major. And oh, by the way, last week Dana had the quote. He said, we're working them harder than they ever have. And it was like, ooh, that's a little shot at Major. And he goes, it wasn't a shot at Major. We have the GPS on the kids. We have the stats from last year. And we have the stats from this year.
All the catapult data shows your work rate.
Show you how much you ran every practice and all of that stuff. So he said, there wasn't no shot. It's a fact. We have 25 guys on the injury list right now. 25 because they've never worked this hard. Dang. So it was. He's like, it's unbelievable.
That's a concern.
That is. Well, they're coming. Not. They're, it's not. It's just bumps and bruises and all the stuff like this. They had. But here's the good side of it. They ran some running backs yesterday. They got a kid named Fulbright that's pretty damn good. And Porter. Kyle Porter.
That's Kyle Porter.
He looked really, really good. He's going to be a big part of it this year. But there are when referees. You know what the Yankees are right now? They're that team. You know what? You start chirping, and guess what's going to happen? Because we know what you're doing. We're going after you. We know that what you're trying to accomplish here. You're trying to intimidate us. We're not taking that anymore. The Rockets with the NBA have to be like, they have to be like, oh my God, not again. Are you guys kidding me? Can you shut up? Can you please shut up every call?
There is a law of diminishing returns.
Yes.
And you will eventually cross a line that ends up hurting you.
Yes.
They're human. There's a human element.
And University of Houston is going to, hopefully, Dana hopes, couldn't have been prouder. He's like, that is awesome. And he told his team, he said, you guys, that's the way we want to play. Disciplined, not whining. We're not doing all that this year. That's over. So he said that was really, really cool. But now, whether or not the referees, maybe the word will spread throughout the referees. Hey, University of Houston has changed or whatever. Otherwise, they're going to still, shut the bleep up, that kind of thing. They're going to still have that rep.
They've changed until there's a call in an actual game that doesn't.
Yeah, they got to show.
They got to show that they're right. Consistently.
Right. Absolutely. Yes, they absolutely do. All right, 729 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I got to show a little testosterone.
Let me show you something. Let me tell you something. Right now, Men's T Clinic has 5 locations in Houston. And if you've thought for any amount of time that maybe you are one of those people with low testosterone, maybe I've talked about some of the telltale signs and it landed with you and you said, ooh, diminished energy level. I mean, that could be a lack of sleep. Maybe it's diet. Maybe it's this. Maybe. Or maybe your testosterone level is low and it's not going to get any better no matter what you do. Your testosterone level can dictate your lack of energy. It can dictate a lack of the ability to metabolize, your lowered lean muscle mass, your libido dropping. That's something that happens with some men when they have lower testosterone. The one way to correct those issues is by getting treatment for a testosterone deficiency. And that's what Men's T Clinic does. They come in, they test you, they find out where your levels are. And from there, they will start you on the course of treatments with testosterone. You'll see an immediate jump in energy level in most cases. And then within 2 to 3 months, you'll really start to see the difference physically with lean muscle mass, if you're working out, you will definitely see a big, big difference. But I'm here to tell you right now that this is a great opportunity for you to change everything for the better. And that's what my friends over at Men's T Clinic can do. Live your best life and get back to being the real you at Men's T Clinic. 5 locations in the Houston area. Go find one that's nearest you and live the life that you should be living with the testosterone levels that you had in your 20s and 30s. at menstclinic.com.
Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. It's summertime, but it's still a great time to get out on that patio. There's nothing better than watching a game, having a nice beer, a cocktail, or maybe just having your family out there for pizzas, for hot dogs, for hamburgers, inviting neighbors from around the neighborhood to get out to your patio and entertain. Having a patio built by Texas Custom Patios is next level. It truly turns your house into a home, and it is the best workmanship that you're going to find. Go to the website, TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Drew Rosenhaus is on ESPN right now. I can't be more of Antonio. Is Antonio Brown taken over as the biggest diva ever now? Bigger than Ocho Cinco, bigger than Dion, bigger than Terrell Owens? Is he the biggest diva in NFL history? Have you ever heard of a guy just not show up for a game because he got into an argument with his quarterback
and then sat on the sideline in a mink coat?
Yeah,
and just being an a-hole.
Got himself traded and then didn't show up for the team.
So hold on now.
Then because of a helmet, he won't go to practice.
That is a strong, strong comment you're making. Bigger diva than Terrell Owens. Now, Terrell was special. Terrell was a great player, too. Terrell did some things. Terrell was out there.
He cried for his quarterback.
Chad Johnson was, there's a lot of them. The diva wide receivers are a special group. Wide receivers and corners.
He's taken over as king of the divas.
I think he may have. Well, I just think.
No, I think he's got mental problems.
I don't think he's fully right.
No,
so that's part of it. But yeah, I mean, he's a diva. As far as I can tell right now, he's just a diva, just like that. But it's really, he's a malignant cancer. It's not going to get better. He's not benign. It's malignant. It's going to ruin. He can't make it through this year in Oakland. This will be back to back years, and he'll be out of the league because no one's going to want to touch him anymore.
Didn't we think that with T.O. too, though?
And he was done. Even after a really good year in Buffalo, he was done. Where did he go? San Francisco was one thing.
San Francisco, but, oh, Dallas,
but Philadelphia.
Philly. I mean, he went a lot of places.
Well, the only difference is AB was...
He just turned into the diva in Buffalo.
But he went for money from San Francisco to...
He went to Philly first and then Philly. Dallas.
Did he go Dallas? T.O.? Wasn't he Philly to... Was he in Dallas? I can't even remember. Just Buffalo. Hold on a second. Because I remember him running on the star and doing all that stuff. But, he did have his Dallas years.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Cincinnati. Look at that.
Yeah.
So he played in Buffalo. I guess he played in San Francisco until he was 30. He played longer there than I even realized. Only 2 years in Philly because he divided the locker room there. And then Dallas. That's right. Dallas, that was my... Tony Romo's back.
Yeah.
But he's still extremely, extremely effective even then.
He was 37.
Terrell Owens was great. And look at his last year in Cincinnati. This is when people said, I just don't want to deal with him anymore. He averaged 13.7 yards a catch and had 9 touchdowns. 13.7 and 9 touchdowns. That's better than Andre Johnson ever had, probably, with Matt Schaub. Well, and he had almost 1,000 yards receiving. Like, you could have kept, but it was too much to deal with. Terrell Owens is too much to deal with for what he was giving you, but he could still play. Terrell Owens could still play. Antonio Brown now, you don't even know if he will even play football anymore. Terrell Owens would play. Where did you see holdouts for Terrell?
And he's got $30 million. No, he just was a cancer. He just destroyed
cancer locker room. But that guy would go out on the field and play. He'd play hurt.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown
sat out because he got his feelings hurt.
His health, he got into an argument.
In a game that they had to win to make the playoffs. Yeah.
And now he can't even stay. He can't even get on the field because of a helmet. And Mike Mayock just said, look, at some point, you're either all in or you're all out.
Well, not at some point. And what the problem with Mike Mayock's quote was, okay, it's time to be in, all in or all out. And we can't wait for him to be here for week one. What? Well, it's either now or it's then. When? This whole thing, Mike... It is. He's a disaster. He is really a disaster. Perfect spot and with the Raiders. Longhorn Scott is here. Speaking of divas, let's bring in Longhorn Scott. What do you say? What do you say, Longhorn Scott?
Yeah, you're killing me, Johnny. Hey, look, John, I got to tell you, I'm calling in to call BS on something. Now, listen, I want to say, first of all, I appreciate the fact that Dana's your buddy and you are a good friend and you're going to do your best, your level best, to sort of help proposition him to be something that, frankly, he just isn't. But you're a good, loyal friend, so I respect that. Now, that being said, dude.
What am I saying that he is that he isn't? What is that?
Wait, say that again?
What? How am I lying in any way about Dana? What did I say? What does he do that you feel like I'm lying about?
All right, so I'm not going to use the word lie, but I'm going to say maybe rose-colored glasses, right?
Okay.
Now, there was no bigger hissy fit thrower and complainer to the refs than West Virginia in the Big 12. I'd like you to call, if you could call the Big 12 refs and ask them about this hunky-dory, well, listen, there's none of that going on, and we're going to work hard. Listen, and sportsmanship. Now, look, I didn't wake up this morning deciding that I'm going to call in and complain about Holgerson's staff and their sportsmanship. But collectively, between the whining and sportsmanship, like, the Big 12 took a notch or three up with him being gone from there.
Excuse me.
Well, hold on.
Are you calling a coach of another team a big whiner when you took it to the conference to get people to stop throwing horns down?
My God, can you
whining?
Be bigger bitches?
Whining?
Can you be bigger bitches?
The guy scored a touchdown on you and was throwing the horns down to the fans. And you guys took it to the conference. That's classless.
And you know what? That is a penalty. Good call, ref.
Oh, my God.
Show some sportsmanship.
The ref didn't call a penalty.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Scott.
Go ahead, Scott.
And also, talking about sportsmanship, didn't your coach mock a college kid's celebration on the sidelines?
With his
what are we talking
on.
About here? College football is about
classy.
Pettiness.
Classy.
Stop it.
Scott?
Are you done yet? Are you done?
Are you done?
Though? Yeah.
Go ahead, Scott.
No,
my
I'm
God.
I'm not done, Dale. I'm not. Actually, are y'all done?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. I didn't call in and say that nobody from any other school ever complained to the refs or did anything south of 100% perfection. I'm saying that if you watch week in and week out, consistently, and more so than anyone else, as a head coach, Dana Holgerson is known for having mental breakdowns on the sideline with his half his, what's the guy from that show, Kingpin, with his hair all flopping around, all half-cocked like he's been sipping cocktails and wound up about losing a bet at the racetrack or something. I'm telling you, that's who he is. So, yeah, did Tom Herman mock a kid? Sure he did. Is that great? Not really. Mm-mm. Did he do it every freaking day, every Saturday in the fall? No. And listen, there's a whole thing there. And the horns down deal, I'm not a big proponent of that being a rule, but I will say this. Either something's a rule or it's not. And if you're celebrating in a positive way, if you score, and if you're celebrating in a negative way, you're a West Virginia Mountaineer or some such secondary school that has the privilege of playing the University of Texas, and you celebrate by degrading your opponent rather than just uplifting yourself.
I'm with Scott. Uplift
so
yourself.
Get on with it. I don't care, man.
Celebrate your own win.
Can you imagine?
And stop celebrating.
Can you imagine how I would feel if the Miami administration was like, guys, could you stop doing the U upside down, please? Could you imagine?
Did you even go there?
Yeah, I get the T-shirt thing. Whatever. you've been playing that note for like the last 20 years. Whatever. Get something new. But you know, you man, you know how
Dale, how do you feel right now?
John Swofford of the ACC. Stop him! Stop him! Hey, John, you can't do that. You can't do that, John.
John just did an upside down.
How do you feel right now, Dale?
I really wish John Swofford. I really wish John Swofford would do something about that.
Do you feel threatened? Do you need a dog?
Can you just uplift your own and stop going after everybody else?
What a bunch of whiny
bitches. After this offseason where the Big 12 had to decide whether horns down was a penalty or not, he's going to call in and talk about another coach whining.
Another coach whining. Listen, does Dana get – absolutely. Dana has actually pulled it way back. He had to. He actually went and got some. He went to talk to someone about anger management. He did.
Oh, is he?
Yes. And what, he
did. He talk about being so mad whenever I had Will Grier not in the top. Actually, I had Will Grier like number five quarterback, and Dana didn't like it. Yeah. I was supposed to have him number one.
He did the finger emoji, the emoji of the thinking.
He did thinking emoji. Thinking emoji. Will Greer's like. They say Will Greer's way back on the
list. Will Greer, yeah.
Like fourth best of the three.
Yeah. Well, they might have to keep four because of Will.
I have not seen Longhorn Scott that triggered in a while. Dell, there you did it again with your little
it's
poking stick.
It's college football your season, Lance. Stick. It's about that time. It's about that time.
It is
Poke, poke, poke. I don't care about going after Dana or not or Texas, but stop it.
Yeah.
I know you guys run that conference, I guess, but when they're discussing whether Horns Down is a
they
penalty
do on the
or
Big
not,
12.
Knock it off.
They do on the Big 12.
And oh, by the
do
way,
they, when's the last time they won it?
But they own it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, I don't know if he doesn't know. I mean, he hasn't seen. Dana has definitely curtailed a lot of that. And he's done a much better job. Listen, Dana, we'll get Dana in here. We'll get Dana in here and we'll talk about all that because it is it's kind of a big deal, but it is very because University of Houston is much better. Longhorn Scott's got to come in and denigrate Dana.
What's he so concerned about the Cougars for?
I don't because he's always triggered by the Cougars. Always.
It has been a thing for a while. There has been it's been. I think it goes all the way back to the state. You remember the old Chet Gladchuck, like where he tried to throw together some lawn chairs. Like, well, we got 60,000.
Well, he put the stands on top of books to make it,
it was like
it level.
The most day,
to make it level.
Engineers came in and are like, what in the, is this? It's good. We're good.
We're good. No,
and
no,
Texas
no, no.
said, all right. Well, and then remember Sean Rogers got chop blocked and got lost for the whole year?
Oh.
Do you remember
and
that?
You remember the U of H actually won the conference a few years, so University of Texas said they can't be in the conference anymore. Do you remember that?
Well, my dad was at U of H in 78. That was his first job, and Houston was like, too many black players. Houston has too many black players. They have a black quarterback. We used to hear stuff all the time about the nickname that they had for Houston, and it was ugly. And Houston came in and won the conference. Like, they were winning a conference early on, and it was not well-liked.
No, it wasn't.
Inside
no,
the Southwest
that's why they're
Conference
not
back in
the
day.
Conference now.
I don't know if it still has what it has to do with now, but...
Texas still keeps them up. We were talking about this.
I thought it
Texas still is keeping them up.
I don't understand what's... Is this still about... Sean Rogers in the stands? Like, what is it now?
No, it's they don't want University of Houston built up because they've got to compete with them, and they don't want to do that in this city.
Really, I always found that to be a little disingenuous because they wanted A&M to stay, even though they act like they didn't. They still wanted A&M to stay, but that's A&M's tremendous competition for them. But they're worried about...
They don't need Houston, too, that's for sure. Because that's more competition.
Well, I mean,
and
not more than Oklahoma.
Feel like Houston is a step below. They're not threatened by Baylor. They're not threatened by Tech. They're not threatened by TCU.
Well, Iowa State. I mean, you have this, that makes no. Who it doesn't make any sense. Houston should be in the. Now there was a time I would say Houston, you don't belong in a Big 12 because you can't get anyone at your
games. No, they can't now.
But things have changed. Yeah. I mean, things have changed for the better for Houston. And I think the argument is not only a legitimate argument now, but it's one that really should happen geographically. It's now more than ever, there is such a danger with the mid-level program being squeezed out of college football. You need to take care of some programs that are on the upswing. And Houston's definitely on the upswing.
Well, and another thing before Renee got here, Renew Couture got here.
That's your favorite.
Renew is, she's the first lady of Houston right now. Another thing about that was that the academics was not up to snuff. But it's up to snuff now. They've passed up a few of the schools namely Texas Tech, and West Virginia.
Yeah.
Flew them. So this is not even arguable anymore that their academics can't live up to the Big 12 because they can't.
Excuse me. Tell Dell. This is from Longhorn Scott on text. Tell Dell to review the 80s drug running history of his bleep adopted university football program.
Yeah, because Texas wasn't in the Southwest Conference and they were completely clean throughout their history. Knock it off. Hey, by the way, Scott, explain to me how, Ricky Williams out of San Diego just happened to wind up at your school. How did that happen? You don't. I mean, RG3
like Austin. Keep Austin weird.
I'm sure that was all it was.
Well, I know this. If I'm going to San Diego, I'm going to go to besthotelrates.com. Besthotelrates.com. Because I want, especially in San Diego, holy crap, how are you going to pay for a hotel there? I mean, it's going to be expensive. Oh, it's going to be less because I went to besthotelrates.com. People ask, hey, what's that website for the best hotel rates? Well, I know what it is. It's besthotelrates.com. It's pretty simple. If you're looking for the best hotel rate that you can get in no matter what city, it's like 650,000 rooms to choose from throughout the world, not just in the United States. It's all over the world. Besthotelrates.com. Thank God the kids aren't in school yet, because they heard somebody's dropping B-bombs on this show.
Who said that?
The B word. I don't know.
Was it Lance?
Lance,
or you?
Probably. Oh. I'm pretty sure it was Lance.
Wasn't me.
At least my no one said SDH. Going,
my son was going to school.
What'd he say?
Haven't heard that Longhorn slander from Dell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, know? By the way.
And my wife had to hear that.
Excuse me.
Slander.
Excuse me, Scott and Mrs. Zerline. Scott was talking about drugs and drug running. Mm-hmm. Didn't one of your wide receivers.
And Uzis.
Didn't one of your wide receivers just a couple days ago catch a gun charge? So,
not that I know of.
Joshua Moore just caught a gun charge a couple days ago. So what are you talking about? Innocent. About guns and drugs? You just had that happen. Maybe that's why it's in your head, because you're trying to rationalize what happened to that kid.
Yeah, but Miami did it like 20 years ago. So,
but what if it happened over like a couple days ago?
No, that doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. Huh. But
there's another school that has a drug and gun history. Okay.
Who was that?
OU. Remember Charles Thompson?
No, before my time.
Oh, good Lord. They had Uzis in the dorms, and Thompson did time, right? Was it Charles Thompson that did time?
Yeah. He was selling crack.
Yeah, and they had the dorms all had Uzis in them.
Somebody from Houston got shot with one of those. But, Oklahoma had some rough times. But Charles Thompson, now, the one that happened after, Charles Thompson, the guns, and that was, however, I believe it was still your guy, Barry Switzer, was still there. But, yeah, Charles Thompson, I was talking, I don't want to make this too long, but I was asking Wallace Marsh, like, who's better, Charles Thompson or Jamel Holloway? Oh, Charles Thompson. Because that's always been what I've thought, is Charles Thompson was one of the best option quarterbacks I'd seen until he got arrested for selling crack.
Yeah. I don't know. Jamel was pretty damn
good. Jamel was really, really good.
Jamel was awesome.
Jamel was really, really good. Charles Thompson I thought was special.
Yeah.
Bad. But anyway. College football. So that was the last Saturday without college football. We got college football starting this Saturday. Can you believe that?
Miami, Florida?
Yeah, that one, and there's another one.
It's not really going to be a good game. I got the under on that one, though.
Probably should. Miami, Florida, and there's one other one that's less high profile, but game day will be in Orlando for that one, so we'll see how it goes.
Speaking of losing a great player, Seth Benson, motorcycle accident.
Man. Yeah.
36 years old.
36 years old.
That's such a shame. That is such a shame.
Seth Benson, motorcycle accident, and that's now University of Texas lost Daryl Drake, who was a coach at Texas with Mack Brown. Chicago Bears. There's a lot of places, Pittsburgh Steelers that were Arizona. My dad coached with Daryl Drake. I knew Coach Drake. But Daryl Drake passed away of a heart attack at age 62. And the Longhorns obviously remember that.
Did you see that Freddie Kitchens went the day of the game?
Well, that was an awesome move. I think my dad's going to regret not going, but for my dad, it's just tough to travel. He's had a degenerative back condition for about 35, 40 years. No, they're about 35 years. So it's hard for him to travel, and he didn't get to go to the but I'm sure he's going to be a little upset down the road that he didn't go. But I thought that was really something else at Freddie on game day. It's a preseason game, but on game day, it's his first year's coach to go to Daryl Drake's funeral. I thought that was a really classy move by Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah. That's not easy. That's not easy losing a friend like that. But yeah, Seth Benson, that was crazy. We're on our way to church. My wife goes, man, Seth Benson died.
Wow. Yeah. Is he the last great Texas back?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. Since he was since Ricky. Yeah. It was Seth Benson. There's been others. you know, they thought Jonathan Brown was going to be that, or Jonathan Gray. They thought, what's Malcolm Brown? There was a thought that Malcolm Brown and Jonathan Gray, one of those guys would be the next Seth Benson. Neither one of them were.
There's nobody.
Chris Warren's son, I thought for a while, would be that guy. He obviously wasn't that guy. They haven't,
Deontay Foreman,
that guy.
No.
Deontay Foreman was a good college back, but he wasn't Benson.
Not Seth Benson.
Seth Benson was drafted in the top. Seth Benson was, the fifth pick of the draft? By Chicago Bears?
So, Texas running backs. I mean, he's up there in the top five. I mean, you got Earl.
I mean, he's probably
Ricky.
In the top three.
Yeah, Earl, Ricky, and Seth probably.
Yeah, it probably is. Sed was a legend. I remember when Quiz Rogers broke Sed's touchdown record in Quiz's junior year. Seth Benson and Adrian Peterson are considered like the all-time legends of high school. Their highlight reels from Midland Lee and Palestine, respectively, are outrageous men amongst boys. I mean, Seth Benson was just an absolute freak show. And he really hurt himself by coming in late to camp, I remember, with the Bears. Brian Peters was his agent. I think he handled baseball and football at that particular time. Or maybe it wasn't football. I just remember the Bears were really upset. He didn't come in. He wasn't able to learn the blitz pickup stuff. And so it hurt his playing time, his rookie season. And people kind of felt like he was a little bit of a bust. But then when you look at Seth Benson's career, he had some pretty good, like Seth Benson ended up being a pretty decent NFL running back. Yeah. You know, he ended up being a pretty decent NFL running back.
But obviously he came in with a lot of hype.
Great at college. Well, three running backs drafted in the top five. That draft with Ronnie Brown, Cadillac, and Seth Benson is the last time you've seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Oh. And you won't see it again.
No. Now you've given up, third rounders for third down backs.
Stop.
Why don't you two, let's catch up. Why don't you talk about your patio?
Texas custom patios. So, Stephen Shaw, I've talked to him about adding some kitchen elements outside to my pre-existing patio, and I just didn't know if there's room because we've already decked out my patio, and he's, decked it out. I mean, not really decked it out. I have a space, and I've got some columns, and there's a fire pit on the outskirts of it, and, you know, the TV, the things that kind of come standard. I have the TV and the speakers hooked up into the ceiling. But I want to get some new ceiling fans, and then I want to see if there's a way to add a kitchen out there. And so he's going to come over and work on that with me. See, the thing about Texas Custom Patios is you can say that you want something, but you might not be able to envision it, what it's going to look like, how it will work. And that's where Steve and Shell and his crew are so great. Not only do they envision it, but they can put it together on paper or on computer, actually, a rendering of the project so you see exactly what it's going to look like. And that's what they do, exactly to scale. They give you a price at the beginning, and that is a firm price. Even if they make a mistake, they pay for any mistakes. You don't end up getting hit with anything extra. They use the very best workmanship on every facet of that patio. And the one great thing about patios as opposed to swimming pools where you don't get your value back, there's a lot of real estate investors or real estate appraisers and real estate agents will tell you, a lot of times a really well-done patio will go dollar for dollar and be a big differentiator when it comes time to sell your home. So get that outdoor living space that will take your home and to the next level. And that's a patio from Texas Custom Patios. Go take a look at their work, their before and afters at texascustompatios.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.